Welcome to Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast with Alexia Leachman, the weekly nine-month podcast to help parents-to-be look forward to their fear-free childbirth. Alexia is a pregnancy and head trash clearance coach and the author of Fear-Free Childbirth, How to Have a Stress-Free Pregnancy and a Positive, Pain-Free Birth. As a mum who's had two fear-free and pain-free births, Alexia wants to share with you how she overcame her pregnancy and childbirth fears, so that you can look forward to having a fear-free birth too. Over the nine-month life of this podcast, Alexia will be sharing some real-life stories from mums and dads, insights into the latest childbirth research, inspiring tales from birth professionals, and some tips and techniques for clearing your fears and stresses. If you would like to receive a free chapter from her book, then head over to fearfreechildbirth.com, where you can also sign up for her email series, How to Have a Stress-Free Pregnancy. But now, it's time for the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast. This is me, your host, Alexia Leachman. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, I just want to open up by firstly saying you are very, very lucky to be getting a podcast this week because it was nearly not going to happen. Unfortunately, my little seven-month-old has got chickenpox at the moment, and that has meant that she has not been getting any sleep. And when she doesn't get any sleep, that means I haven't been getting any sleep. And so it's been really, really tricky for me to just keep any sense of normal routine going. She's at home from nursery, so I'm getting no work done whatsoever. So I'm really lucky that she's now decided to have a little kip in the day. So here I am just sneaking into my office to get this podcast recorded and get it out the door, hopefully on time for you this week. So these things are sent to try us, I'm sure, but luckily I've made it, hopefully just in time. Now on this week's show, I've got another positive birth story for you. It's a brilliant birth story. Today I'm going to be sharing Bella Rose's story. And Bella is from New York City and she's got two little boys, and her youngest is only 3 months old, or at least he was when I interviewed her about her birth story. So it's all super, super fresh in her mind, and it is a wonderful, wonderful story. But before I just hand over to that chat that I had with Bella, I just want to say a thank you to Alia, who emailed me last week just when I was coming to that point in my head where I was like, I don't know if I can get the podcast out, and having a little bit of a stress fest. And she emailed me to let me know how much she is enjoying the podcast. And so I got back to her and asked her, what do you want to hear on the podcast? And she sent me loads and loads of really great stuff that she wants to know more about to hear on the Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast. So Alia, if you're listening, thank you for your email. It really helped me to get this podcast out this week. And also thank you so much for all the things that you've told me that you want to hear more about. And just to let you know, a lot of those things are in the pipeline. So for example, she wanted me to find out if we can speak to some doulas. And yeah, sure enough, I've got some chats lined up with some doulas in the next few weeks. So I will be posting an episode, hopefully more than an episode, where I'll be chatting to doulas. But if you've got any questions or anything that you want to find out more about to help you on your pregnancy journey, to help you to have a fear-free childbirth, then really please let me know. You can email me at alexia@fearfreechildbirth.com, and I would love to know what you want to know more about, and I will do what I can to get the info and include it on future episodes. So please don't hesitate to let me know. And also, if you are enjoying the show, then I would really appreciate a review on iTunes. As you may, well, you may not know, but iTunes charts are based on the reviews and the ratings, as well as downloads, but reviews and ratings are critical. So if we're to reach more mums and help more mums to prepare for a fear-free childbirth, then reviews are really going to help me to do that. So if you're enjoying listening to this podcast, then please take 2 minutes to just go over to iTunes and leave a nice little review. That would be super, super appreciated. And I'm sure other mums would appreciate seeing fear-free childbirth popping up the charts and popping into their lives to help them have a better pregnancy and look forward to a fear-free childbirth. Anyway, I'm going to stop now and hand over to the time when I spoke to Bella Rose all about her positive birth story. I hope you enjoy it. Well, today on the Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast, I've got Bella Rose joining me, who's going to share with us her birth story. So welcome to the Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast, Bella.
Thanks so much, Lex. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much. So before we start and start talking about your journey, your pregnancy journey and your birth experiences, would you mind just sort of telling us a little bit about who you are and, you know, what kind of family you've got and a little bit about you?
Sure. So yeah, Bella Rose, and I am a mom of two little boys. My youngest is 3 months old, so this whole birth experience is pretty fresh in my mind, and the other is a one, and let's see, he's 21 months, so he's closing in on 2 years old. And I'm married. I live in New York City. I live just at the very top of New York City. So it's not exactly what you think of the skyscrapers and all that, but they're definitely apartment buildings. And let's see, I do work on a podcast as well called Delight Your Marriage. And I'm also an author of a book called Delight Your Husband. And I really help women get through all of their reservations about marital intimacy because I think it's vital to a happy, healthy life and family. So I'm really glad that you do this work, Lex, because I think that, you know, my experience has been huge in bringing me and my husband together so that we can be a good team in this whole raising people experience. It's insane, really.
It is. Well, that sounds fabulous. That's brilliant. So your work, let me just ask you a little bit more about that. Delight Your Husband and Delight Your Marriage. That sounds so interesting. Would you mind just sharing a little bit more about that?
Sure. So the podcast is really to dig into those women, the wives and intimacy experts, find out what it takes to have like a 30-year long relationship or 50 years, you know, because I've never had that. And so I'd like to really find out how it works. And then I was married actually before my current marriage, and I really learned how to break a marriage. I was a really kind of interesting experience and really hard stuff. But yeah, so this is really to try to help women kind of have a vision for a lifetime, you know, and how to understand your husband and how he works and all that kind of stuff. And then the other thing about my book is really focused on spicing things up in the bedroom and really getting into his mind and also the science behind it and different stages that he has to go through in order to really enjoy things in the bedroom. So that's my focus.
Wow. No, I think that we're going to have a very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Looking forward to this, and I'm sure the listeners are already going to start checking out your podcast. So Delight Your Marriage, go and check it out on iTunes.
So
you've got two little ones. One of them's only 3 months old. So yes. I would imagine that the 3-month-old birth is still quite fresh in your mind.
Yes.
Would you mind just sort of telling us a little bit, telling us about that most recent birth?
Yes, absolutely. So after having the first one, I did hypnobirthing in the first one. So that gave me kind of an understanding of, okay, I need to be calm. I need to be relaxed. But honestly, throughout those 9 months, there are times when, you know, my back hurts and this huge belly is in front of me and I just can't even imagine this experience happening again and it being positive, honestly. So I really had to work through a lot of that, those emotions, because it wasn't going to be, you know, I had a great birth the first time. Sorry to kind of switch on you. I'm kind of have to give a little bit of background. I had a great birth the first time. It was in a birthing center. I really had some great support, great midwives. And my husband and I did it together. We did the birthing class together. So he was a support. I didn't practice as much as I really should have in terms of some of the relaxation techniques that they taught us. And so, you know, the coolest thing about the first birth was the breathing. I recognized that in between contractions. So, you know, in hypnobirthing, and I imagine this is probably, you know, you told me a little bit about your program, and it just sounds marvelous. But the point is to really disassociate the fear from the experience, and obviously that's your purpose here. And so what I needed to do is those surges, so we call them surges or rushes. During those surges, I needed to be totally relaxed, totally in breathing mode, and not let, you know, any kind of discomfort association kind of, don't let that rule my thoughts, instead of just being in that relaxation mode. So with the first one, it took about 14 hours, and we ended up you know, going to the midwife, and she thought we weren't anywhere near being ready. She thought she was going to have to send us home. And by the time we got there, she checked me, and I was already 7 3/4, you know, dilated. Yeah. And so that was, so she's like, okay, let's walk across the, you know, across the street to the hospital. So, so the cool thing about that one, I mean, it was such a marvelous experience. Oh my goodness. just to kind of go back to what I said in the beginning is how far bonding it was for me and my hubby. You know, he was so supportive throughout, and because it was like training us for the next year and a half so far of raising this child, because he was so supportive. You know, every time I needed, well, here's something that's funny is, are you familiar with Spiritual Midwifery, that book?
I've heard of it, but I've not read it.
Okay. Oh, it's a good one. It's just a bunch of stories of really wonderful birth experiences, and it's by Ina Mae Gaskin, and she talks about how important it is to kind of love on your mate during the whole labor process. And I was shocked, but the best thing for me during labor was to lip lock with my honey. It was like, literally, we're crossing the street and I'm like stopping him because I need a kiss because a contraction is happening. It's like, I mean, we must have been the most ridiculous looking thing. And the other part of this is pretty funny is my husband's actually a little bit shorter than me. He's about 3-4 inches shorter than me. So I'm like, oh, hugely pregnant and like kind of like grabbing him to kiss. It's just kind of hysterical, but hey, that's what this is.
Well, yeah, you gotta get the oxytocin flowing, haven't you?
That's right. Yes. It was a huge, huge help. Okay. So fast forward, the first birth was in the birthing center. The hardest thing for that one was my, probably the actual head coming out. That was probably the most difficult challenge in that one. However, the second birth, so it was only a year and a half after, and they say that often those are faster. And my midwife kind of, you know, warned me that, you know, you kind of need to get to the hospital pretty quickly. And we had different insurance this time, so we weren't set up with a birthing center, but we did have a midwife. So I was just like, well, just in case, what happens if it comes at home? Like, you know, I just don't want to not know in case we need to, you know, have that situation. And she's like, okay, well, just keep the baby warm. You know, after it comes out, call the ambulance and, you know, they'll get you to the hospital, get you, you know, totally, you know, the last part of the afterbirth stuff taken care of. So I was like, okay, great. So we thought, my first son was 10 days early, so often your second one is a lot earlier anyway. So we were like thinking, 2 weeks early, we're going to have this baby. You know, I had, you know, Thanksgiving, I was thinking the baby was going to be here. And it turns out, nope, the baby comes on their birthday, not on their due date.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. The baby came on December 17th, which was a solid... Well, it was 5 days after, yeah, the baby was born, but we were thinking it was going to be, you know, two weeks early. So I had been ready for a long time, but my youngest son was actually over at his, you know, uncle's house, so he was taken care of, which was nice, but we ended up doing about 5 hours of labor when it started. Then what happened was I was feeling the surges really strong, and I was like, oh my goodness, you know that moment, I wonder if you remember, Lex, that moment, no matter how prepared you are, and I guess everyone's birth is different, but for me, there's still a moment where in the middle of it, I'm like, can I really do this? And I remember that moment, and I was like, how did I do this before? How is this even possible? And yet, you know, you're already in it. There's no, no going back. That's right. So the best thing, and my husband was huge in helping me with this, the best thing to do was get out of that emotion as quickly as possible and get back into the relaxing, breathing, my baby is coming, this is wonderful. And he was vital for that, because sometimes, you know, when a couple times I would get into this, like, you know, really focused on the discomfort and, you know, screaming even. Thankfully, it only happened a couple of times. But when it did happen, I needed him to be there to say, okay, you can do this. And honestly, kiss me. And that was a huge help. And you know, going back to delight your marriage, one of the biggest reasons I think that both sons were induced was we made love. So that was a huge help to make sure things got moving. But
okay, so they weren't induced. You mean so they weren't induced?
That's right, they weren't. It was, but
it was all natural.
That's right. But it was started because we made love.
Absolutely. You know, like, yeah, it works every time.
It's true. It's true. We were, those last 2 weeks, man, it was, there was a lot going on in our household. Thankfully, my other son was at his uncle's, so we had free reign. So what happened was, so 5 hours into it, I was sitting on the toilet because I felt like I had to go to the bathroom, and then all of a sudden my water broke, and I was like, oh honey, okay, I guess we should go to the hospital. And so the hospital is like a 10-minute walk away from our house, so I was sure that, you know, we'd just be able to walk there because it was 14 hours the time before, you know. So the water breaks and we start, you know, getting everything ready to go, and we walk out of our apartment building to the stairs. We're on the second floor. And so we get to the stairs, you know, planning on walking down, and all of a sudden I have the urge to push. Oh my goodness. And I was like, oh wow. And you know, that first push is like involuntary. You push. Yeah. There's like nothing you can do stopping it. So I was like, honey, oh my gosh. And no, I'm sure I said some expletives right there. I was like, and screamed them. So the whole apartment building is hearing me scream at like this push happening. I was like, we have to have the baby now. So we went back in. He started the bath. We called the ambulance. And I was, you know, the coolest thing was after that first push, I was in the bath for maybe, I'd say 5 minutes, maybe 8 minutes without any surges. And I just spent that time just relaxing, just breathing. It was the most peaceful time I can remember. I mean, I was so focused on relaxation and this beautiful experience. And then suddenly I started feeling pressure down there, and literally it was just pressure, like just pressure around my vulva. And I was like, honey, stop pushing. Don't push on, because I thought he was like pushing the area. And he's like, honey, I'm not doing anything. I was like, oh, what do you mean? And so slowly, you know, I'm still breathing it. And then he's like, babe, I can see the head. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? I was like, because again, with that first experience, I was sure that head coming out was going to be the most difficult part. Mm-hmm. And yet this was nothing like it. It was just so wonderful. And so a little bit, I needed him to kind of push around, not push around, but more like massage. That's also what Ina May kind of suggests, is a little bit of massage, you know. And the cool thing is, because it was my husband, I was like totally okay with it. I think I would have been weirded out if like I had asked a midwife to do that. So it was like, you know, he's used to that area anyway. So it was nice to just have him kind of get things a little bit more relaxed. And as the baby was coming out, he was actually the one to deliver the baby, which was amazing. It was incredible. Yeah, it was just like, I remember he was holding the baby's head, you know, because it was face down like it was supposed to be. And he said he could feel the eyes moving around, like underneath the eyelids. And literally, the baby's not coming out yet. He's feeling the baby's eyelids. And like, that was the biggest relief, because I knew the baby was fine. And I was like, wow, you know, this is really happening. This is really what's going on. It was so good. So slowly I did do a little bit of effort to finally get the baby's head out, but not in any kind of discomfort, not at all, actually, which was shocking. So then the baby did totally come out. He put the baby on my chest. I missed this one part. So as the baby was like, the head is out, the ambulance guys arrived, and we had a doula that had just gotten there because it went so fast. She had just arrived just before the baby came. And so she opened the door for them and that kind of thing. And the first thing, you know, these big loud guys, you know, they've got the walkie talkies are making noise and all that. And like, this guy like lugs in and is like, excuse me, ma'am, who instructed you to give birth in the bathtub? I was like, get out. I like screamed. Don't you dare get it. Don't let them in until the baby's out. So that was, you know, I needed my peace. I was not going to have them mess this up for me. So they came back in to suction the baby's mouth and nose a little bit. And then he was totally purple when he came out. And that's actually normal, but at the time I didn't know. So I was like, I got nervous, you know, and it took him a little bit to actually cry and, you know, take his first breath. So I was like holding him and kind of patting his back and praying. And I was like, okay, Lord, let this baby, you know, be okay. And thank God he was, you know, shortly thereafter he cried and breathed and turned pink. And yeah, it was marvelous.
Lovely. So yeah. How long? I mean, that sounded amazing. How long was that? Yeah. That sounded so quick.
It was so quick, Lex. It was wild. So five hours total, 5.5 hours at the most. Yeah, the actual baby coming out, again, I had those maybe 8 minutes of just total peace. And then it may have taken 10 minutes for the baby to actually come out. It was quick. Yeah, it was amazing.
That sounds amazing. So what was you mentioned about how, what about the due date? So how far off the due date was, did the baby
arrive? Yeah, 5 days. So 5 days late.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So actually that's quite within, that's quite normal, isn't it? That kind of.
It is. Yes. Yeah. But I thought it's my second baby. The first one was early. This is definitely good, you know, so that was all me. But yeah, no, he was fine. Here's the other thing, Lex, I need to tell you. He ended up being a 9-pound, 7-ounce baby.
Goodness.
And further, I didn't tear at all. I did not tear a bit.
Really?
Not one tear. It was crazy.
So you didn't, I mean, it sounds like, you know, you noticed in your first birth, you mentioned the word discomfort quite a bit. But in this second birth, you really didn't notice anything like that at all.
No.
And yet, I mean, the baby was 9 pounds.
I know, which is crazy. The first baby was not close to, he was a whole pound less.
Wow.
Yeah, it was,
incredible. Right. And so, with the new little one then, I mean, born in such wonderful conditions, actually, at home, in the bath. Yeah. How did it go with breastfeeding and how's that little journey been for that little one since it's been born in that sense?
Well, you know, I love that you talk a little bit about how a good birth kind of, you know, fights off some depression things that women can have after birth. And honestly, my first birth, I did go through quite a bit of depression, postpartum depression. And I mean, one difference was that my identity was totally changed. You know, I used to work full time and a very stressful job. And then all of a sudden I'm, you know, responsible for this whole person, and anyone that's had a baby or is going to, I mean, you're going to go through that. Like, how am I, you know, how do I have the capacity to care for a person? But yeah, so that was my first. And then my second one, has just been night and day different. It's incredible. In terms of, even from the get go, my husband and I always say this, we think our first son really taught us how to love a baby. Mm. We had to learn how to love a baby because I don't think that's automatic. I know a lot of people, they experience that like in the moment the baby is born. For my first, not at all. I mean, it took maybe weeks to months for me to really feel emotion when I held him. And so my second, though, thank God, it was immediate. It was right, you know, like we said, you know, I knew how to love a baby, and I was able to connect with him immediately. And you know, the last 3 months, we were, you know, you and I were talking about how creative you feel and how much energy you kind of have in those first months after having the baby. And that's just how I feel. I feel so capable and so powerful as a woman, after this experience. And my connection with my youngest son is so strong. It's just incredible. Now, my older son, I have a strong connection with just as well. But, you know, now he's a toddler and he's, you know, practicing his nose, and you know, it's a little bit harder when you've got a little baby just in your arms, just smiling. I mean, that's easy to feel really connected.
No, I know. They're just adorable. I just want to eat my daughter daily. And I see these little wrists, those little flat wrists, and the little cheeks. Anyway, I don't want to get carried away with that. But I'm interested, just if we just go dive back to your first birth, because I'd be interested, because we kind of skipped through that quite quickly. But actually, you know, could you sort of, you know, so you did hypnobirthing for that one. You went to a birthing center. Yes. How different, you know, they were very different experiences, but what was the main difference, do you think, for you with your first birth compared to your second?
You know, so I think the preparation was different. My first birth, I did do the hypnobirthing class, which exposed me to these good ideas about birth, which was invaluable, really. And I've heard, you know, read a couple of positive birth things and, you know, seen a couple documentaries, and that was really helpful. But I was also in a very stressful job experience, and I was working in a nonprofit, and, you know, literally people were, you know, screaming threats at me sometimes daily. And like, it was just so stressful. I would come home crying frequently. And, you know, when you're pregnant, I mean, that's that everything's multiplied. Everything that you experience is kind of magnified. So I think that I didn't have the space to really give my birth attention in my first experience. I really didn't have the capacity to, you know, spend time in the relaxation modules and those kinds of things. Mm. And the second one I did. I knew how important those relaxation techniques were. And I spent time, you know, listening to the audios at night. I spent time, you know, praying about my birth daily and taking walks and talking to my baby and just falling in love with the baby before he even came out. And for both births, we didn't know if it was a girl or a boy, which was kind of fun. So that was kind of, you know, it's maybe a little bit more challenging to connect with the baby because you can't really visualize him or her, but it's cool because you're not kind of, maybe it's cool because you're not really judging the baby before it's come. You're really just giving the baby the space to be who he or she is and love them for who they are, regardless of who they actually are, I guess. Yeah.
So it sounded to me like because you had more space, even though you had a little toddler already, you had more space to really kind of devote to the little one before they'd come earthside, I guess.
Yeah. I think I was mentally more prepared. And that's why I'm really glad for anyone listening that you're listening to this, because this is a great value to your life and future and birth. Because, you know, the more mind prepared you get, I think the better birth really you're going to have, you know.
So the preparation that you did then, you mentioned that it was all around the relaxation. It was all around the sort of, you had audios that you listened to. What other kind of prep, were you reading books? Did you kind of, what other kind of things were you doing?
Well, I was definitely reading that spiritual midwifery, where I was just, you know, hearing about these amazing birth stories. So that was huge, because I started to just, you know, again, realize that some people really enjoy their birth. You know, it doesn't have to be this, you know, extreme discomfort or whatever, like you said, you know, like you see in movies and all that. But the other thing that was really helpful is that when anyone would start to tell me about a negative story, I would just say, I'm sorry, let me know in a couple months. I'll have the baby out by then. And I would just excuse myself from conversations or make an excuse to leave. Like it was very vigilant. I had to be very serious about not hearing negative stories because that messes with your mind. It messes with your fear, and you just don't need that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so take me back to maybe the first time that you found out that you were pregnant, like the very first time. Mm-hmm. What was going on through your mind when you first discovered you were pregnant?
Oh my gosh. Well, at that time, my hubby and I weren't married. We were dating, and we had thought about getting married in the summer. That was kind of our plan. Thankfully, what was cool was I had my grandmother's ring, actually, which was not her wedding ring. It was this really, really ugly ring that looked like St. Patrick's Day mixed with like Halloween and diamonds on it. It was bizarre, but it had diamonds on it. That was the thing. So I was like, you know, both of us were, you know, not in a place to really invest a huge amount of money in a huge diamond or whatever. So I was like, you know, I know that you're the one for me, and I just want you to know that I'll receive this back when you give it to me, maybe in a different form. But so it was cool that I had already decided in myself that he was the one and I wanted to be with him. So that was kind of a cool thing. We were lucky enough to have that experience before finding out we were pregnant. So when we found out we were pregnant, I was like kind of dumbfounded. So what happened was I, you know, walked into the bathroom. It had been a couple of weeks where my breasts had been sore, and that's not normal for me and my periods. And I was like, I don't know what this is. And I literally had a hunch that I might be pregnant. And, So the little bit of backstory to this is that, we had thought we weren't going to be able to get pregnant ever, actually. So that was kind of our story, that there had been some other experiences that made us believe that it was never going to happen. Yeah. And so we were very not careful with protection. Honestly, we weren't. And so by the time you know, we found out we were pregnant. We were like, what? How is this possible? we found as when I, you know, saw the stick, you know, he was thankfully at my place at that time. We were actually long distance at that time. And so, you know, we only saw each other every other week or something like that. Mm. And so it was so cool that he was there that day so I could, you know, show him and, you know, he could hug me and be like, are you kidding me? What? And so he's been hoping to be a dad for years. And I was like hoping to be a mother like years later. So yeah. we kind of came into that understanding very in different places. Mm. And, you know, I really wanted to be married before having a baby. And, you know, I talk about on my podcast, you know, my Christian faith really told me that was necessary piece before having the baby and before having, you know, sexual intimacy as well. And so I, you know, was kind of struck with a lot of concern that this was, you know, something was going to be really embarrassing and really, you know, a bad thing for us. Right. But at the same time, my Christian faith is, you know, every life is valuable. So I wanted to, you know, receive this gift and not, so I think I was dealing with a lot of kind of emotions along those lines. So the cool thing is that, I just decided, you know what, God can forgive me for anything and people aren't the ones to be judging me anyway. So I needed to go ahead and do what I thought was right. And what I thought was right was to have this baby and to get married as soon as I could. So, honestly, it was kind of a goofy wedding, you know, like if I had planned it for a couple years or whatever, you know, how people do a year and a half and it's this gorgeous, whatever. It was, you know, it was gorgeous in a lot of ways. It really was. But in some ways it was just funny. I mean, my nephew fainted on stage and my bridesmaid was sitting the whole time because she had, you know, wasn't able to stand. And then my husband's boutonniere, you know, fell off in the middle and we were trying to talk to my husband's mother on the phone. You know, she was going to pray for us on the, you know, during the ceremony and somehow something got lost in translation and she didn't realize she was doing that. And so she just started kind of talking on the cell phone in front of her, you know, on the audio. So it's just like, so many things were just hilarious, but the cool thing is, the point is, we connected, we got the, you know, we got what we thought we needed to get in place before having the baby, and when we had the baby, it was a cool thing, so.
And did you have any, when you first found out you were pregnant, did you have any kind of worries about the birth? Did you, like, did you worry, or did you think, hey, you know, this is, I'm going to be cool with this, I've heard of hypnobirthing, or did you have, because I'm just saying that, because when I first found out, I was like, oh, this is great, but this has got to get out of that hole. And it's getting bigger. I was, you know, I was really panicky about that. I just wondered, what was your experience?
Yes. Okay. So I had watched that documentary a couple of years before that, the big one, the Business of Being Born. And that was a huge, it was the first thought I ever had on natural birth. I never considered it. My mom had all epidurals. In fact, she told me that she would rather have a C-section than ever do a natural birth. And she's had five kids. So, So she was like, just knock me out and wake me up when it's over. Like, that's all she wanted. And I, you know, so I had no like positive kind of association with birth ever. And she never really ever waxed eloquently about our births. Never. Because I think it was always traumatic. I think every single one was a traumatic experience for her. Mm. And so I never knew the details. I never knew what happened. So the birth, the Business of Being Born was a huge like, oh my gosh, I want this experience. I think as a woman, I would like to understand what this means, you know, have a birth. And I'm an ambitious lady. I like to, you know, I'm competitive. I like to do the things that are hard. Yeah. And like you, Lex, I mean, writing a book when you're, you know, 5 weeks out of having a baby is intense. Good work. So I just wanted that. I just wanted that experience. I didn't know how I was going to do it. And so slowly, I guess probably 6 months in, I started actually thinking about practicalities for birth, but, which again was, you know, my crazy life of getting married quickly and having this stressful job and all this stuff didn't allow me to prepare. But yeah, when I did kind of refocus on it, I was like, okay, hypnobirthing sounds excellent. I saw that was one thing that turned me onto it. I saw a YouTube video of hypnobirthing and I was like, yes, I want a birth like that. Yes. So I signed up.
I was like, where do I sign?
Yep.
I'll have one of those, please.
Yep.
Now that you're through, do you I mean, I don't know whether you want, do you want another little one?
Oh, yes, yes. So I think that, like I said, I think we all have that experience in birth, and maybe not everyone, but most have that at least one moment where you're like, can I really do this? Mm. And the answer is yes, you can. Yeah. So if you've had a baby and it was negative, I just want you to know that you can do this, and the second can be way better, even that. Yeah. And the other thing is the first. If, you know, if this is your first baby and you're just learning about this stuff, I would definitely encourage prepare for your birth. Yeah. So those things in mind, when I think about a third child, I think that I could do it because I've done it. And not only that, but I know how to prepare the best way. I know that I want a water birth. I know that I'd like it at home this time. I know that I'd like to prepare for it to be at home and not to be an accident. But which sounds like you prepared for being at home, which is cool.
Yeah.
I would love that. So yeah, a third definitely. And after you have the baby, my goodness, it's just you just, like you said, you just want to eat that baby. You want to smell the baby all day long and just kiss its little head. And it's like, how can you not have another child after experiencing that? So yeah I do want another one at some point.
I know, like when I had my second birth, I was like, I do, even like about 10 minutes after birth, I'm like, I do that again.
Yes. Good for you.
The bit that I don't want to do again is the pregnancy.
I don't either.
It wasn't fun.
But the birth, I
do that again tomorrow.
Yes. And the other thing I say is that, you know, the birth, okay, so let's say I had, you know, 5 hours of, you know, difficulty, and I had to, you know, breathe through it and relax and prepare, all that. So there is some difficulty there. And I probably, if I were prepared even more, I'd probably have less difficulty. You know, if I took your course, I'd probably have less difficulty. So there's that. But then the other thing is, if you don't do those, you know, let's say 5 hours, let's say at the most, it'd be 24 hours. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, a day at the most. But if you don't, and you do something like a C-section or something like, you know, where there's complications and you have to do epidural, those kinds of things, you, my friend, have a lot of pain for a long time. Mm-hmm. You have to deal with waking up in the middle of the night, but also your stitches being painful while you're trying to nurse and these kinds of things. And so I just would encourage anyone who's listening, who's like on the fence, whether I can do this or not, I just say, go for it. Just go for it. If you decide you hate it, the next time you can do an epidural. Why not? Yeah. But I really don't think that'll happen. I think you're going to love it and you'll be like, I definitely will do this again. So
yeah. Well, no, that's been wonderful. Thank you so much, Bella, for sharing your birth experience. It's just been absolutely brilliant listening to what you've got to say. And certainly the filter or what you bring to it in terms of how it fits in with your marriage and all that intimacy piece, that's just been really, really fascinating. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And I'm sure people are going to want to know where to find your podcast. So before we go, would you mind just sharing a little bit about where we can find your podcast? And is it, you said you're doing a book as well?
Yeah, that's right. So the book is Delight Your Husband, and it's turning into a course. So you can find that at delightyourhusband.com. And that, again, is about spicing things up in the bedroom. The coolest thing about having already done that book and done all the research and, you know, really understood that, it was really cool that 6 weeks after having the baby, we were able to really enjoy intimacy without actually having penetration, which was kind of really fun. So that was exciting. And then, delightyourmarriage.com/Alexia. You can find my four favorite intimacy positions while pregnant. So,
oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah. I would love for anyone to check that out for that free resource. And thank you, Lex. It's just been so fun to chat with you and your listeners.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on, Bella. It's been an absolute delight.
My pleasure.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed that chat with Bella Rose. It was fab, wasn't it? Really, really brilliant. And of course, she's got that link. So if you just go to the link that she shared with us, delightyourmarriage.com/Alexia, and there are some goodies there waiting for you right now. Now, as you may have picked up during the chat with Bella, she did mention that I've got a program. And yes, I am developing an online course for women to help them to clear their fears and have a fear-free childbirth. It's not ready yet. It's still happening. I'm pulling it all together, working very, very hard behind the scenes. But if you want to find out more, be on the list when I'm ready to launch it, which will be very soon, hopefully in the next month. Then if you sign up to get the free chapter of the book or sign up to my email series, the How to Have a Stress-Free Pregnancy email series, then I will be emailing those people very, very first to let them know all the goodies that are coming. And there will be some freebies coming very, very soon. So if you want to stay tuned and find out how I can help you to have a fear-free childbirth, then you just need to get on the list and I will be letting you know in the next few weeks, that's for sure. So, and of course, do come over to our Facebook page, the Fear-Free Childbirth Facebook page. There's lots happening over there. We're slowly building our numbers, so it'd be lovely to come and see you over there and come and let me know what you want to hear more about on the podcast. I would love to see you there. Until next time, bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in. You've just been listening to Alexia Leachman from the Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really love it if you left a review on iTunes or Stitcher or shared it with a friend. And don't forget, to get a free chapter from her book, head over to fearfreechildbirth.com to get your copy, as well as finding other episodes in this podcast and more about how Alexia can help you with pregnancy and birth preparation coaching. Until next time.